Thanks for listening to the Lakers Fast Break Podcast, part of the Hoopheads Podcast Network. Check out all their awesome basketball shows today at hoopheadspod.com. With another episode of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. It's Gerald Glassford coming right back at you from Lakers Fast Break, Pop Culture Cosmos, Inside Sports, Fantasy Football, and Game Source. We truly appreciate everyone out there that listens to all of our great shows. And if you can, please give us that 5-star review wherever you get your podcasts. Plus, if you can like, share, subscribe, follow, or do anything that you can to support us right here at the Lakers Fast Break, Pop Culture Cosmos, Inside Sports Fantasy Football, Game Source, the great folks at LakerHolics.com. Go ahead and check out Laker Tom's latest article today and Jamie Sweet's 5 Things articles as well at LakerHolics.com. Plus also be a part of the great groups at LakersBall.com. You know Ox1947 is there for you at LakersBall.com. And also our good friends at the Hoopheads Podcast Network. And if you could support all of that, it is sincerely appreciated. Well, Laker Tom and I were wondering, when exactly is Lakers training camp? When exactly is the training camp for the Los Angeles Lakers? Well, we got a hint and a taste of that because it's coming up real soon. The LeBron mini camp, as it were, is already underway from all appearances because it's got to be because next week is training camp for the Lakers. Media day is on Monday. Training camp happens right afterwards. So training camp is around the corner for the Los Angeles Lakers. And there's still lots of questions out there that need to be answered. Will Russell Westbrook, who's been the source of conversation all summer long, who's given us content to talk about all summer long. Well, you know what? Hey, if that happens, it happens. But will it happen? Will a Russ Westbrook trade happen in the next few days leading into training camp? Will that happen? The rumors about Russ being traded to the Spurs, that's gotten a little more heavy and a little more out there. We'll tell you why that's probably not a good idea for the Los Angeles Lakers if they trade for the Spurs for Russell Westbrook. So we'll go ahead and talk about that coming up here in a bit. We'll also talk about legacy. The true story of the LA Lakers, episode 7, happened over the weekend. We'll talk about that as well. Hey, everybody in the chat, good evening. It is Petting My Cat. He's in the chat room. Good evening, indeed. If you get a chance and you have not yet subscribed, please go ahead and do so below Joe Sorrell today. Right there. Hit that subscribe button right below Joe. Right below Joe. You can do it. I know you can. I have faith in you. Yes, you can. Go ahead and subscribe today on YouTube. Plus also as well, if you're watching us on Facebook, which is something I don't do as much as anymore because of seemingly our audience tends to trend a little bit more towards YouTube. I want to go ahead and encourage all of our great Facebook fans, not only to like our page, but go ahead and check us out on YouTube because that's where all of our shows are directly going. So you can go ahead and definitely get all of our latest episodes there as well. But guys, we are here to talk Russell Westbrook. It is the closing days of summer. Again, the LeBron mini camp around that corner. Again, training camp around that corner next week. Looking like, I think, Tuesday, because if media day's Monday, they go into it right afterwards. So here today to talk about the Russell Westbrook trade may or may not happening before training camp. It's a good man indeed. Someone who's been very out there and, you know, I wouldn't say guaranteeing, but his words have been very strong for a Russell Westbrook trade in the next few days. It is the number one blogger that's out there for Lakers fans out there. It is the man indeed. You got to go ahead and check out today what he's doing at LakerHolics.com. It is Laker Tom, first man here, first man up. And Laker Tom, you again have been very adamant that Russell Westbrook is going to be traded within the next few days. I see your stuff that's going on at Laker Tom on Twitter. You're still out there with all the stuff. Do you still see a trade happening for Russell Westbrook by Media Day on Monday?
You know, I'm not sure if it's going to happen before Media Day, but I tell you, there's a lot of evidence that it's going to happen before the start of the season. And there's a good chance it could happen during our broadcast today, even. Wasn't it yesterday or wasn't it tomorrow that Rob Pelinka and Darvin Ham were going to have a press conference?
And they canceled it, yes.
And they canceled it all of a sudden and said that it wouldn't happen until Tuesday the 27th, which is, I think, when Lakers Media Day is.
Monday. It's Monday.
Is it? Because I heard the 27th.
I think it's Monday. I'll check to make sure. I thought that I was reading that.
At any rate, it's kind of interesting. First off, why would the Lakers have scheduled an event? You can look at this two ways. One, you could look at it, they schedule something tomorrow for a deal that fell apart, therefore it's been canceled. Or you could look at it like, well, they were going to announce that Russ was staying with the team and we're all moving forward with that, but something else happened and all of a sudden it's canceled. So, you know, everybody will grab whichever life raft they're comfortable grabbing. Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting because what I do see out there is that the Lakers want to trade Westbrook, but they want to limit it to be just one pick. They want to go into the season with a pick because they remember how difficult it was last year when they didn't have a pick available to try to pull something off. So there's that. I think that that's a big factor in the whole situation. And then there's also the situation with the Spurs. I know you want to get into that later, but the simple reality is that the Spurs have enough money that the Lakers could take Jakob Poeltl and D. Rich and have a $25 million traded player exception and trade Russ in one pick for that. I think that they have an offshoot, and I think the off road, let's just make sure we get rid of Russ, because that $25 million TPE could be very valuable down the road.
Yeah, but you just mentioned the pick, though.
Are basically expiring contracts, so you're not going to pick up anything with them as far as additional salary, which is one of the things purported that the Lakers are trying to do. Which frankly doesn't make sense, because if they have a whole bunch of free agents, if they have a bunch of draft picks and they want to trade for somebody, you've got to have players to trade. And if they don't trade Russ, at least at the trade deadline, then they'll have no players to trade once next summer comes.
Let me ask you this. You slipped in there still giving a pick. Why would you give a pick to the Spurs in order to go ahead and trade for players? Yeah, I understand the trade player exception. I get that. But the players that you'd be getting back don't help you at all. This is the worst of the worst as far as the trade mentions. Plus,
you're changing the currency. You know, you're like getting rid of one type of currency, which is Russell Westbrook, and you're getting players that are tradable contracts. And you're getting a $25 million traded player exception that you can use to bring a player in without having to send out any salary. Poeltl is probably a far better defensive center than anybody we have right now. And he has trade value on the marketplace. And Jay Rich would actually be an excellent fit. He's a 44% three-point shooter. He's an excellent defender. And he would be definitely a guy that you would even possibly consider that you would want to keep long-term.
Who is this? Jay Rich?
D. Rich.
As far as Jason Richardson.
Jason Richardson, Jay Rich, excuse me.
Yeah, he is worn out as welcome in several locations. His past, his name.
When I still look at this situation, I still think that the Spurs are the off-ramp if the Lakers can't find anything to do with Pacers or the Jazz.
Okay.
But I think that they're going to, I think that they're going to make a trade. I think that there's still signs of it. And, you know, nobody else feels that way that I do, I guess. The only one that's close is probably Wendy, who's been saying this just doesn't make sense, this roster. He cannot believe that the Lakers basketball people really believe that this is a roster that can succeed or even even survive in the Western Conference. So we'll see what happens. That's just my take.
No, and I appreciate you doing that, as always, but Poeltl, don't ask him to shoot free throws. He's just terrible at free throw shooting. And then you have, in regards to Jay Rich, Jay Rich has worn out his welcome in several occasions. He's still
a career 39% three-point shooter.
I don't know.
Excellent defender.
He was an excellent defender. He's on the backside of his career. And also Dougie McBuckets.
He's only 30 years old.
He's on the backside of 30, though. He's obviously worn his welcome already since he's been traded so many times. In recent years, mind you. I mean, we're talking about Dallas. We're talking about Boston. We're talking about several locations.
The two of them plus, and this is really important, the player that you might be able to get with the TPE at some point in time could be extremely valuable. They'll be much better than Russell Westbrook.
If you throw in Keldon Johnson for $3 million, I'll listen. But outside of that, I'm not sure about that. But also here today.
And then you'll go through the season with Russ and enjoy that.
Well, I'd like to see a better trade than that. That's just, you're getting scraps. And you have to give
up. That was the worst trade the Lakers would accept.
I agree with you. Trade. At least that we agree. I mean, and if they do without a pick, okay. I'm willing to do without a pick. The pick or something, you got to give those picks for something a lot better than that. But Joe is here today. He's one of the men behind the great site known as LakersBall.com. It is Ox1947, Joe Soro. You hear Laker Tom and I going back and forth. I don't mind that trade as long as you don't give up a pick for your future on these scraps. Like Laker Tom saying, even he knows that would be the worst option, the off-ramp, as it were.
Gerald, you can't. Nobody's gonna take Westbrook and not require a pick.
Well,
it's not gonna happen.
Yeah, but you don't just
totally dreaming if you think that's gonna happen. And frankly, I'll bet you money that won't even happen at the trade deadline.
Well, that again, I'm not going to argue with them. I'm not gonna bet on you with that, because when
you're not gonna get rid of him for no picks, and you're definitely not gonna get rid of him for somebody good without both picks.
But what you're getting
back. Your option is, do you want to save a pick and you think the pick is that valuable? Then you take back something that's less than what you would ideally want to do. Because in the end, addition by subtraction is what you're going to get with Russell Westbrook.
And nor do I wish to keep Russell Westbrook on the roster, but when your standards are getting lower and lower, I feel like Billy Dee Williams in The Empire Strikes Back, where he says this deal is getting worse all the time. But also here today is
it is because it's getting closer to the deadline. Closer to the reality that Russell Westbrook is going to be your starting point guard.
It's getting worse all the time, Laker Tom. It's getting worse all the time. That off-ramp, I feel like we're on the LA freeways, and that off-ramp is taking you to somewhere you don't really want to go.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com, and you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse.
My last movie that I saw in the theaters was The Last Skywalker. I know, condolences to me.
Wow, man. Nice. I just had talked about that, and I completely forgot that I saw that movie.
Yes.
It doesn't speak great things about it, I suppose.
That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse.
Catch our shows on Worldwide Radio 7 days a week and wherever you get your podcasts. Needing an edge for your fantasy football team? Listen to the guys at Inside Sports Fantasy Football for insight that will help you reach your league championship. That's Inside Sports Fantasy Football. Check it out today on your favorite podcast outlet. But also here today to talk about what's going on with the Lakers is the man behind, again, Ox1947. It is Joe Soro. Joe, you've heard Laker Tom and I start off the show. Welcome back. Glad you had a great weekend with the Dodgers in SF. Look at that smile on your face. Everything is all good. Dodgers over 100 wins. Everything is all fancy-dancy for you over there. But your thoughts on what's going on as we get nearer and nearer to training camp next week?
The focus should be on what they can control. What they can control now is not dealing with Russell Westbrook in a manner on the court. His contract is untradeable without giving up assets for a return that's not worth it. There isn't a player out there that you would risk an unprotected first-round pick, even one, for just dropping a contract. It's just not it makes the – if you guys thought Luol Deng's contract was a monstrosity, imagine if we traded a 27 pick and we end up being – and it's unprotected, and then we end up being the worst team or one of the worst teams in the league in 26 and – What if it's a top three pick or a first overall pick? Now the Russell Westbrook thing becomes a decade-long decision that has crippled the Lakers, and it could
that's
be
that's 100-to-1 shot, maybe 1,000-to-1 shot, maybe 1,000,000-to-1 shot.
Sure, I agree with that.
Will LeBron or AD still be here?
Not go outdoors because a brick might fall on our head.
That is true. That is true to a certain extent, but we won. We got three second overall picks during our run, which was I'm pretty sure that the odds on that were pretty low as well.
Which run are you talking about?
The Lakers had three number two picks during the
three number two picks, not number one picks.
Yeah,
but that's still pretty darn good.
Yeah, and that's a number two pick can
number two picks are the same as the top. Number two, three, four, and five picks all generate about the same number of superstars.
Tell that to the Sacramento Kings.
Well, if you pick the wrong number twos, I don't know if the Lakers picked the right number twos.
Yeah, there was a year that the Lakers definitely did not pick the right number two.
The way the team is constructed plays a factor in the trade as well. If we were just simply a player away to send away from having a clear enough area to where, let's say, AD and LeBron could work with some marginal talent even. Right now, we don't really have any marginal role players, in my opinion. Marginal can be subjective on what that means for most, but for me, there's really no third guy or even a fourth guy. I mean,
Can I ask you this real quick? Do you think the Lakers have the worst supporting cast in the NBA?
One of the worst, absolutely, yeah. It's just not a very well constructed team. Even your young guys are terrible basketball players in terms of in the NBA, of course, in terms of defensive efficiency and actually shooting, which is again, I got to keep
repeating. And I agree with that. I agree with that. That's why I think we have to make the trade.
Yeah, but you're not getting anything back.
That's going to help you right away.
Back. You get two or three players back who are going to be. You will get back your third, fourth, and fifth best players on the team.
That doesn't.
They may not be stars, but they'll be your third, fourth.
I don't.
And fifth
I don't believe
players.
The. I don't believe the Bogdanoviches and the Jordan Clarksons are a third and fourth type players. They
Who
are
on
more,
our team is better than Bogdanovich
on the team. Yes, but I'm thinking you're gonna give away a possible asset for a first round exit. It's not really worth it at this point. It's just easier to just hope for the best, which is, even saying that makes me gag because I don't really like to think that way. I'm just saying that because I want to keep some positiveness here. Otherwise, it's going to be a sad show. but the reality is I don't really care about the 23 season at this point other than to watch and enjoy some games and to see hopefully Anthony Davis play like an MVP, which – that's really my only concern at this point. LeBron James is about 5 years ahead of what he's already done. everything right now is gravy on his career. It doesn't really matter what he does from here on out. He's already who he is, and he doesn't really need to prove anything, really, if you want to put it in an objective standpoint. I think I found it funny that a lot of people would be sitting there going, oh, I told you he's not clutch when he would miss a shot or whatever. the last few years. I'm like, dude, he's in his like 80th season. What if he had retired 7 years ago, this wouldn't even be a discussion. The Lakers right now are a terribly constructed team. AD is the mystery in this whole thing. I don't really care about Russell Westbrook. If Darvin Ham is going to show me who he is, you know, the guy that's going to hold people accountable, the first thing I would do if you've got that kind of conviction is to sit Russell Westbrook down the moment he starts to become a problem. I'll give you until the beginning of the year just because you're a new coach. But if I go into that season or this season, two weeks in, and that guy's not producing anything, you better make a quick decision there, unless Rob and Jeannie are pulling the strings. And then if that's the case, then this is a really no-win situation for all of us, and we're just going to have to wait out the season and hope that we get a good amount of players next summer with what money we have. It's just not looking good, guys. We are not. We've got terrible locker room guys in Schroeder. Beverly is not maybe terrible in the locker room, but I know if I was a player, I put earplugs in. Russell Westbrook is a non-chemistry whatever. And then you got everyone else that's young, and then of course the two main stars. I don't see anything here that's looking good to start the season, and I just don't see any. It's just not worth sending out any assets to anyone that's out there unless there's some way we can get a player that might have an extra year on his contract. See, that's the only way this will happen without sending out draft assets. Is some team's going to have to really desperately want to get rid of a contract with some guy with some talent that's beyond this year. And then at that point, they just get out of that contract and they only have to deal with the Russell Westbrook contract this year. That's the only way this works. If they wait till the trade deadline, it's the same concept. What star player or really good player is a team going to want to get rid of around that time that can help the Lakers and maybe give them a little bit of a shot to compete for a title in 2023? That remains to be seen.
Well, we'll see what happens. Again, training camp is around the corner, and I know, as Laker Thomas alluded to, that they were going to have a press conference, both Darvin Ham and Rob Pelinka, and they decided to cancel it in order to wait until next week for media day. So we're looking forward to seeing what happens there in regards to that. But still, when it comes to a Russ trade, I just don't think that if you trade for a guy like Jason Richardson, who again has worn out his welcome in a lot of other NBA cities, if he is near your number three, that's not a good sign. And that you don't certainly can't give up a first round pick for that, Tom. You certainly, for him and Jacob,
you're giving Porto, up a first round pick to get rid of Russ. Because if you go out there with this lineup, with this roster and Russell Westbrook, you are going to have a disastrous season. By the trade deadline, two thirds of the season is going to be gone. You're sacrificing this season because they won't give up a draft pick that, if the Lakers take care of business and run their franchise properly, will be a late 20s draft pick like it's always been.
I hear what you're saying. I've thought of that exact thing, Tom. Exactly what you said.
You got to bet on yourself. You can't
exactly
bet
what
you're
you said.
Be a loser.
The issue is, I want something a little bit better in talent return. That's just kind of what I'm.
We may be getting it. How do we know yet? The Lakers have done a good job of posturing their position that they're not going to give this up. They're not going to give that up. But there's a middle ground. The middle ground is. We're running ads now. What's going on?
No, they wanted to see. Go ahead, continue talking. Okay. They wanted to see my shirt that I have above ceiling, but I could keep going. It's from Better Times. The only thing I say, Laker Tom, and I'll just leave it up there a couple minutes longer, get back to us. And the only thing I ask is, if you trade for Jason Richardson and Jacob Poeltl, how much really realistically better do you think you'll actually be?
Gerald, I said that was the bottom line trade. There are three or four trades out there that are much better than that, that I think are available.
Oh, and I'm telling you, yes, I'm agreeing with you. I'm not trying to. Well, I'm not trying to get you mad. I apologize. But the thing is, with the reports, you've seen it, Tom. The reports, at least the Spurs seem to be the flavor of the day. In the past couple of days, the Spurs talk has picked up. So that's why I'm saying. So I don't mean any disrespect to you and what you're saying, and I don't mean to get you upset at all. I'm just telling you that the Spurs, and the reason why we're having this conversation, is that the Spurs have become at the forefront of these media conversations. That's the only
thing. And I think that they are the third option.
Okay. I to me, they would be the last option. That's for sure.
Well, they probably are. The third option is probably the last option.
Yeah. So I agree. I'm not telling you otherwise. So again, I don't want to get you mad. Don't want to get you upset. So I apologize if I got you upset, because I know that's a tough issue as far as this Russell Westbrook is getting a lot of people upset.
I know that you will not believe any trade that happens.
That made me upset.
So it doesn't matter.
Well, I just don't think that there's a trade out there that you would want to give up your first round picks. If I'm running an organization,
I think that the Lakers realize and understand. And if you look at the stats of what the odds are of getting a star player from a first round draft pick, it's mostly just nothing but smoke and mirrors. Those picks really do pay off. The only way they pay off is doing what Utah is doing and doing what Oklahoma City has done, which is really just get a raft of picks so that you can outbid anybody when something comes up. And that's where they're going to use their picks. That's how they're going to transform their – they already have a bunch of young stars. They're going to start putting together picks in the next 2 to 3 years, and those picks will be used to get proven players.
I was with you, you know, when it came to Kyrie Irving, I was with you. But then again, like you said, how many Kyrie Irvings are actually going to be available out of the marketplace? That was probably the closest shot that we had was
well, getting Turner and Hield would make them championship contenders. There are half a dozen well-respected pundits out there who actually have said that exact same thing, that they would be legitimate contenders with those two players.
I kind of disagree, and so do a lot of other people on that. I've also heard a lot of pundits that say the other way. I mean, it's kind of a question.
I've heard a lot of pundits say that the Lakers actually believe that.
Well, their LeBron and AD,
they want to go the superstar route.
If LeBron and AD plays 140 games, that changes the entire complexion of things, and that would probably lead me towards what you were thinking, if that's the case. But it's very hard with the way that LeBron and AD.
We should assume that LeBron and AD are only going to play 40 games. And we should assume that everything else is going to go wrong, that nobody's going to shine. And then the whole problem is that if you look at that roster, if you have any brains and understand what a basketball team is supposed to be, and you look at that roster without any shooting, no backups for LeBron and AD, and are practically a rookie at center to start, you can see why Windhurst would say there's no way any good basketball people would think that this team could even open the season. There has to be a trade in the wind. And that's what's going to happen.
Again, I don't want to get you upset. You're already getting upset. And again, I'm sharing my feelings just as much as you are. I know the Lakers right now, they're not in a position to compete. Anybody who can see that, anybody can see that, right?
Sometimes you have to make a trade.
Just to make a trade. Okay. Joe.
Addition by subtraction.
And sending Russell Westbrook, we've talked about sending him home. We've talked about other things as far as trying to go ahead and eliminate him as a active part of the roster. I get that. But Joe, I mean, this situation, again, you see the volatility. You see what kind of emotions it's bringing out. Russell Westbrook on the roster. And I agree, Russell Westbrook, the more he stays on the roster, the more negative it can get.
You're going to kiss off one of LeBron's ears, man.
Well, what's going to need to happen, and I've been saying this all summer, is AD is going to have to be available and at MVP level. Then things will settle a little bit better.
I agree.
With that, and it doesn't matter if you make a trade or not. That's still the most important part of this puzzle. LeBron had said, if I have, you know, get us in the playoffs and let AD and I take care of the rest, okay, I'll play with that a little bit. But if they're sitting at, let's say AD is a maniac this year and plays well, and LeBron is pacing himself very well, and they end up at 35-15 at the All-Star break, maybe things can be done at the All-Star or at the trade deadline, and whatever, I don't know. I don't know how to assume something that deep down in my gut that doesn't look good to assume even something. I don't see a team that was constructed correctly. Even if it wasn't LeBron, it's still not constructed correctly. A LeBron team needs just like Peyton Manning, and I've used this analogy a few times, he needs receivers and he needs a tight end and he needs an offensive line to block. If you can do that, he'll win you 12, 13 games a year and win you a couple Super Bowls. With LeBron, you just need shooters and guys that can play defense, and we don't have any of those at the moment. And the superstar that you're paying $47 million to can't seem to understand that that's what this team needs, and he's more worried about whatever it is that he worries about. Any news on Kendrick Nunn? Is there a press conference for him being?
Maybe that's one reason why they canceled.
Is that the press conference? News,
he put out a video that showed him making some pretty good moves.
Yeah,
supposedly playing really well.
Yeah, I can go put out a video right now and really make some nice moves on my own with no guarding. I promise you, I've played. I'm very good when I'm by myself.
Just like those prospect videos when they're going against a chair.
Yeah. Or those YouTube videos showing Luke Walton making all these amazing plays. Guys, it's edited. You can edit it and make all the good plays, right? I have no confidence in Kendrick Nunn at all. I think there's something going on there that we don't know about, and I wish I knew. And it's just one big, you know, they can't even get a press conference right. You want these guys to make a trade that'll work and help the team? Come on.
It's getting harder and harder to go ahead and say that this team is going to be successful this season in any format, regardless of a trade or otherwise, because like you said, so many things are working against it, so many ifs. But if, again, like you said, you know, if you get the season, and this, again, that's why I said the other day that we should rename the team the Los Angeles Ifs right now, because of the fact that the Lakers have so many ifs coming into the season. But the biggest one, I think, like you said, Joe, is the man that you have really are behind, and that's AD. Again, I'm going with you. I'm giving him another season. I think that this season, according to a lot of people as well, feel that this is going to be a bounce back season for AD. I'm thinking that way as well, and a lot of it is because of the confidence that you've had in him.
It's the only thing that would make sense at the moment. You have a 30-year-old future Hall of Famer in his prime still, who's got a unique skill set that very few people ever have had. That's what you bank your money on if you have to bank your money on something. If he is 2020 AD, you're going to get a lot of positive things that are happening on the team just by having that. And then if LeBron isn't ailing from some minor injury and out for 10 to 15 games, you're going to have there's going to be some stability there. And then maybe some rhythm built with some of the young guys. Maybe some of them start to, you know, surprise us in some way. I'm pretty sure that not a lot of us thought that Alex Caruso or Austin Reeves would turn into what they turned into. And I think there's some athletes on the team, athletes that could maybe turn the corner if they have that continuity and chemistry. That's just going off of common sense thinking at that point. As far as the plug in from out of nowhere and talent guys, I don't really see any guys that you can do that on this team. The only miracle that could happen is Russell Westbrook stops missing layups and actually plays team defense, which that would help us a lot.
Well, if let's say if AD steps up back to where he was before, like you said, in 2020. You have Kendrick Nunn maybe coming off the bench, healthy, being able to play 5-on-5 again. Austin Reeves gets to anywhere near 35% from three. Then you don't have to worry about what Russell Westbrook.
I would test Westbrook if I was a coach and really attack his manhood in practice. That would be my mental thing. You know, Phil Jackson used to play mind games with certain players. He was more passive aggressive, but I would be a little bit more direct.
He used to give them books that they don't read as well.
Right, and he that was always a test. Like, are you going to put in the time to learn who you are? Well, I'm not going to be. I wouldn't send any books out. That's a little too slow for me. But I would, if I saw Russell Westbrook not closing out on a defensive play, or missing a layup, you know, the kind of things I would say to him is, so this is your first ballot Hall of Famer. Can he make a layup? Kind of like a funny dig, but not really, to test to see if Russell Westbrook has the mental fortitude to handle criticism, which we all know he doesn't really handle it well in the media. But maybe indoors, maybe somebody doing prodding him, maybe Darvin Ham can be the Westbrook whisperer.
Well, before I turn over to Laker Tom and then Jamie Sweet, thanks for Jamie to come on real quick with us. I do want to mention Bubba says LeBron says he will return to his greatness. No one ever says that LeBron hasn't been great. I mean, he averaged 30 points, and he's how old? 37 years old. The fact is, he just needs to stay healthy. If he can give us 70 games, I think that's the cut line for me. I heard today on a podcast by one of the ESPN analysts, they're expecting maybe 130 games. If we can get 140 games, I think that can make us a competitive team, maybe even possibly a playoff team, but we'll see what happens there. But Laker Tom, any thoughts as far as what Joe said in regards to this? I think if we get a development from Austin Reeves, we get some competent play from Patrick Beverley, we won't need to worry whether or not Russell Westbrook can give you anything at all.
I don't think Russell Westbrook is capable of really helping this team. The best that we can hope from him is not to hurt us. You know, I mean, his timing of when he makes his blunders is really a big part of the problem. And if he can at least be in the background and not be a menace on the court or a menace off of the court, then it all comes down to how LeBron and AD play. If they could come out of the gate and play well, they could carry the team. But the big problem still is that this is an incomplete roster. This roster was built without any shooters. And it's going to be very hard to even run the offense that Darvin Ham wants to run without shooters. I don't know. You know, Jamie may prove to be right here that he's been saying that there's not going to be a trade. And we all know there's a multitude of eccentricities in the Lakers brain trust that could lead to a multitude of reasons why they wouldn't make a trade. Who knows? We'll just have to see. I think at this point in time that this is a team that you look at the roster and it screams that there has to be a trade to be made. And I think there are trades to be made. There are trades to be made that would dramatically improve the team. And a big part of what the Lakers have got to get out of is just having cap space. Cap space is not going to be the solution. You're talking about saving cap space, yeah, for Kyrie Irving, but the other guys that you're talking about are not players that are really caliber players that you're going to really, you'll have a better shot at trading people. And if you got draft picks and you're trying to save draft picks, you need to have players under contract. If we go through the whole year next year and we end up with Russ expiring, we'll have just three players under contract. One of them being the rookie Christie, and the other two being LeBron James and Anthony Davis. That's all we'll have under contract. We won't even be able to make a trade. We could offer three draft picks to somebody, and we couldn't even make a trade. So we keep chasing this whole thing of trying to create cap space when what we should have been doing is getting players and developing continuity and getting guys on 2 and 3 year contracts that are good values that you can always move if you really have to move them. I think what we're going to do is a second straight year in a row, we're going to make a decision that's based upon this team going for a third superstar rather than a deep and talented roster.
Also here today, good man Aditi just popped in from Pismo Beach. Good man Aditi, got to go ahead and check out today. 5 things articles at LakerHolics.com. I made Laker Tom mad again, and I'm sorry. I don't want to do that. I leave you and Jamie to do that. But Jamie, you're back. Appreciate it, my friend.
He actually said you could be
right on something. So that's a step in the right direction.
Listen, a broken clock's right twice, 2 times a day. So, you know, that's probably about my track record. Well, maybe a little better than that, actually.
So your thoughts on all this whole Russell Westbrook thing. We all think that the rumors of the Spurs trade, again, would be probably be the lowest common denominator as far as assets that you could get back in return. But you know, and I know you've said for a while now that you don't think he's getting traded until the deadline, but you know, with training camp coming right around the corner, my friend, next week, it looks like more and more that Russell Westbrook is going to be on this roster, even though by a lot of people's standards, he shouldn't be on this roster.
Well, I mean, there's we're talking about a couple of different issues here, right? I mean, there's the issue with this process that we've engaged in here. My problem, I thought it would be difficult to trade Russ, and then the Lakers made it more difficult by putting artificial barriers that they created themselves in front of any trade that was going to happen. Oh, we won't use both draft picks. We don't want to take back any long-term money. We're putting all our eggs into the next summer basket, even though got to put a team out this summer. And in theory, that team with LeBron and AD on it ought to have some kind of shot at winning. So for a while now, though, Russell Westbrook has been on the trading block since January of this year, basically. And here we are, month 9 of that, and nothing's changed. The Lakers have the same roadblocks that they've put up themselves in front of any Russ deal. One draft pick at most. Doesn't even seem like they're really willing to do a pick swap, or other teams aren't really enticed by that. And no long-term money. No money that goes past next summer. It has to expire after this coming season. So once that became basically etched in the stone of reality, then you're basically looking at who's gonna make that deal. I get it that, you know, Rob doesn't want to negotiate against himself. I applaud him for finally learning that lesson. Kind of wish he had learned it a couple years ago, frankly. But, you know, when we bid against nobody for Dennis Schroeder, or when we bid against nobody for Russell Westbrook the first time, those are all things that happened in a vacuum, and you look back on now and say, okay. But then there's a different crime that occurs after these things. If you know there's a high degree of probability that Russell Westbrook is going to be on the team, why are you using the MLE on Lonnie Walker IV? Why are you signing non-shooter after non-shooter after non-shooter to this roster and expecting this to work? So there seems to be a complete and utter disconnect in logic here that I can't explain. It didn't make sense to me last season when, after we signed Westbrook, we did not keep Caruso and we didn't try to get something for Dennis Schroeder. Now we're paying Dennis Schroeder again, a guy we sent out a first round draft pick for just last summer, and we're bringing him back because why not?
Because it's great deal.
He's
$80 million in savings.
I'm just the logical process here is just completely lacking. There's no logic. It's just reactionary. It all seems geared towards appeasing Clutch, which is the only thing I can get out of the Lonnie Walker IV signing. Clutch client. Maybe that was the thing that, you know, got Rich Paul to be like, oh, come on, Bron, sign the extension. Look, they signed Lonnie. Like, I just...
because he's the only guy who would agree to just a one-year deal.
Maybe that's what it... I find that hard to believe.
You don't think Dennis Schroeder would have taken the MLE? In a one-year deal.
I mean, whatever. It's just completely devoid of logic. You build a team around Russ the same way you build a team around LeBron. You got to surround those guys with people who open up the floor, or they're going to run into a crowd and get picked off and have 5 turnovers a game, which both LeBron and Russ averaged last season. So if they're both going to average 5 turnovers a game on this non-shooting roster, you're starting the game with a 10 turnover handicap. You're basically gifting the team that you're playing against 10 possessions already, right off the bat. And so I just don't know what's going on anymore. I really don't.
There's a trade coming.
He thinks there's a trade coming. There's not a trade coming.
There is no other explanation.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wait. Did the sun come up? Oh, there's a trade that's going to happen. Come on, man. If a mouse, you know, eats a piece of cheese, there's a trade that's coming. Like, come on.
It's the precursor. The word precursor became very popular this summer. As soon as somebody got up,
a logical explanation for what's going to happen. One of the two explanations are: there's either going to trade going to happen, or the Lakers are crazy, crazy dumb. You know, it's got to be one of the two. I know you're saying it's number two, and I'm scared it's number two, to be honest with you. But I sure hope it's number one.
It's number two. This team has reacted very poorly to winning.
I just wanted to mention to Greg Harris. Yes, Greg, if they let things ride and piss off Laker Tom for the entire year and keep Russell Westbrook on the roster for the entire year, and his $47 million comes off the books, the most that they could have, let's say even if the salary cap gets a little bit more than expected bump up because of the TV contract on the road, about a 39. I think you can get a 35 to 39 is where it's expected. But as Laker Tom says, and to his point, that you can't get an entire roster Max Christie, 4 through 12, as far as building off of just $39 million. So I see Tom's point. I actually do see Tom's point in saying that. But to me, it's just about, you know, I don't mind giving up those draft picks, but to do it to something that actually will move the needle. In my opinion, that Indiana trade won't move the needle enough. We'll get the Lakers maybe to a fifth or a sixth spot in the Western Conference, and that's still a first-round loss, most likely, against all those big teams in the Western Conference.
But that's why if the Lakers are going to use a draft pick, it can't be for a guy on an expiring contract unless you intend to sign him. You don't spend a first-round draft pick to get Miles Turner. Who's on an expiring contract, unless you re-sign him for a 1+1 to line him up with LeBron and AD. You don't trade for Buddy Hield, who's got a second year in his contract, and you think that that's a bad thing when you realize that if the Lakers really want to have cap space in 2023, they have got to have players that they can trade. You're not going to get a superstar unless you can trade for him, and you got to have draft picks. So we're getting... They're collecting draft picks. They could have three draft picks next year. And two of them, they could be a very unprotected draft picks. And depending on what happens with the Lakers this year, the 2023 first round pick, which we have, could be a lottery pick. Probably will be a lottery pick if we go in with this roster that we've got right now and we keep Russell Westbrook. But you cannot build for the future, win now, do all of these things at one time. I mean, you cannot not take back expiring contracts. You cannot take back long contracts. You cannot take back any money because you might have to pay luxury taxes. There's a million different variables like Jamie said, that the Lakers have artificially put up there. Now, the reason you put up those artificial barriers is posturing. So your opponents know immediately what the answer is going to be if they want you to take $5 million back more than in salary or whatever it happens to be. So the only logical answer to what a mess we're watching and seeing right now is that the Lakers are going to pull the plug and make a trade. And I think that this cancellation of the press conference that was scheduled, purportedly, I believe, to introduce the fact that Russell Westbrook is returning and is going to start at point guard. I think that got canceled for a reason. And maybe we should have Jamie check Twitter right now.
Never know what happens indeed. But Joe, I know you had some thoughts on this. I do want to mention that I'm going to move, Joe, just to let you know, since you and I have both seen it, the Legacy Episode 7, I'm going to move that conversation to Thursday when we have more time. I want to focus on this because so many people are watching and it's such a great part of the conversation because we only have about 10 minutes left. I want to take care of what you want to say. And then also, Blue Magic, I got your question coming up for the crew before we head on out. Go for it.
Lakers need to ride the season and then dispatch of the decision makers they have right now and start and really find someone that can actually construct a basketball team. That is where my brain is starting to go. If this thing blows up the way we think it's going to blow up, if it continues to go this route, the genie needs to take up a leadership role at some point here and find a general manager or basketball of operations that actually can be trusted to create a team that will work And the clutch sports thing is about over right now on this disaster of a completion of a roster. I'm tired of hearing about clutch sports. I have no feeling for that. And it's too bad we're not going to be talking about the show, because episode 7 of Legacy was about how nepotism can rot your organization. And those who actually did stuff, like Jerry West, Phil Jackson, you know, those are the top-notch guys. I wish we would focus on those type of things and not worrying about whether some agent is happy. And I guess we've still won through all the drama, but I still say that the Shaq Kobe era, as happy and successful as it was a lost opportunity in the end. Just like Shaq's career. Shaq's career was a great career, but should have been the number one career had he cared a little bit more. And that's what happened in that case. And it ended up spilling over to so many other things. And that's how a leader can sabotage things. Owner, star player, all these things. There's no, you know, Jerry Buss did as much as he could. I think if it was maybe 15, 20 years earlier, I think he would have been able to handle a little bit better. But he was trying to phase himself out. But, you know, dealing with all those mental midgets in his family that just can't seem to not worry about the petty crap, this is the result. And human frailty, human disease of needing adulation, and, you know, that's the stuff where, you know, I'm going to veer off a little bit on things that get a little bit more brutal, but I won't, because I just think that that's usually where all the problems start, is someone not feeling appreciated, someone not owning up to their mistakes, not having a direction. You know, you make mistakes, you make bad decisions, then, you know, you need to show that you understand that and you're going to try to start fixing it. Otherwise, you're just going to keep making stupid mistakes more and more because you're trying to appease something else or whatever. And that's what this feels like. I don't understand the transactions here. This doesn't make any sense. You're just basically thinking you're playing NBA 2K. Is that what it is? I don't know. None of it makes any sense. And there's no talent out there that I'm going to be excited about trading for, regardless.
You know the thing that they have in common, though, is that you have to pay a lot of microtransactions. NBA 2K, a lot of microtransactions. Lakers, a lot of transactions. Okay, never mind. It's a money joke. Never mind.
Oof.
Yeah. All right, fine. It's a gamer thing. You got to be a gamer to know.
I play video games and I don't know that.
Okay, play NBA 2K. Try playing the My Career mode and see where you go.
I watch real basketball. That's enough.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Joe. Sorry.
I say we set up our show to be the therapy for Laker fans. Because they're going to need a lot of it.
I'll tell you what, we'll make a virtual couch. How about that for everybody out there?
Sure. Sure. I can do a broadcast from a couch.
We're still waiting to. You know what? I was thinking maybe do a Lakers convention. Does anyone do a Lakers convention out there? I don't know. Just throwing out that. We'd be a great.
What would you bring there, especially now? Would LeBron show up?
Special appearances, Lakers from the past, you know, Lakers from the past that want to go ahead and get a nice paycheck to do some signing autographs and things of that nature. There's also memorabilia. There's special Lakers shows you can go back, Lakers panels you could do. We could be on there. There you go. Lakers.
Yeah, they can use that PPP loan to set up all that, right?
No, I'm not going to go touch that one again. You know my thoughts on that. You know my thoughts on that indeed. But before we head on out, I wanted to go ahead and touch on Blue Magic's question. I did not forget. We've had a lot of great talk in the chat, and I truly appreciate everyone for going ahead and chat. And I will give a big thank you before we head on out. But Laker Tom, I'll start with you first. Question for the panel, and I think this is going to be the unanimous choice from all of us, but is this season's roster worse than last season? There's an argument that it is. Last year we had wings. They were indeed old and decrepit, but at least they were wings. Your thoughts, is this season's roster worse than last season?
I think that it's pretty much equivalent to last year's team. I think that last year's team had a better shooting and offense. This year's team is a horrible shooting team. But this year's team is a lot younger and more athletic, and I suspect that that combination along with Darvin Ham is going to mean that the team is going to be significantly better defensively to offset some of what it's going to be poor offensively. They can win some games with good defense, and I think that that's really what they're counting on, because I think they realize and understand that unless they make a trade in the next couple of days, that they don't have the shooting to compete at all in the Western Conference, and they're going to be a non-playoff. They're going to be a lottery team next year. Now, the good point about that is we'll get one of the first 14 picks, you know?
Wembanyama! Yeah! Wembanyama! Hopefully, I'm going to get tickets
tomorrow. Well, every lottery team, even the 14th team, has a chance, a small percentage chance of getting that number one ball.
Oh, my
God. Wouldn't that be something?
That would be something. I'm hoping to get tickets tomorrow for
the Wembanyama game. So we're tanking now. Gerald's embracing tanking, I think.
If you're going to tank, do it all the way. That's all I say. If you're going to tank, embrace it. That's all I say. Go Sam Hinkie. Do the Sam Hinkie thing. That's what I'd say, indeed. But, Jamie, before we head on out, do you think, before you...
I was embracing tanking.
You're embracing tanking. But before we head on out, I wanted to go ahead and ask you what Blue Magic asks. Is this season's roster worse than last season?
I mean, on paper, I think, yeah. I think it is worse. I think you had a lot more veteran. When you looked at last season's roster before you saw it ever, you know, play together.
Before they played.
Right. Before you played, you could say, oh, all right, you know.
It was a great 2015 All-Star roster.
Right. Yes. But also you thought, okay, if one of Bazemore or Ariza has something a little more in the tank than they actually had, or if Dwight Howard could recapture his magic from 2 years ago, which he was unable to do, or there are a lot of ors, right? You know, a lot of iffy or
type. Avery Bradley was as good as Frank Vogel thought he was.
Well, and
DeAndre Jordan was as good as Frank Vogel thought he was.
But the main issue was that AD barely played. That was the real issue with last season's team. AD barely played. LeBron missed a big chunk of the early part of the season.
Yeah, but the record wasn't very good when they played. That's what's really scary. 11 and
Russ,
10.
Russ had to carry the team. Russ had to carry the team, which we all know how that worked out. Yeah, so without seeing one practice, one scrimmage, one preseason game, one, you know, game that actually matters, I don't know what that is. I feel like this roster has a lot of guys who need to get the ball in their hand and drive it to the paint to be effective. That's Lonnie Walker. That's Toscano Anderson. That's Troy Brown Jr. That's all these guys who they're not shooters. They're not natural outside shooting guys. Even mid-range, right? If it was a DeMar DeRozan type where you're like, well, you know, he's kind of automatic from 15, 20 feet out. Okay, that's something you can work with. All of these guys have to be in or around the paint to be effective. None could be the exception to that rule. Everybody's talking about how explosive he looks in practice. And that's fantastic. We heard a lot of the same things towards the end of the season last year, and he never played. So, you know, I can't put a lot of eggs in that basket, because that basket, you know, is basically being held by the Easter Bunny, which we all probably don't believe in at this point. So, you know, on paper, I think this is a worse team. But that might be a good thing, because on paper, I thought last year's team was better. So maybe it's, you know, Murphy's Law, where, you know, whatever you expect, the opposite will happen. So, again, we don't know what anything's going to look like under Coach Ham. For all we know, Russ is going to play the five and, you know, be down there offensive rebounding, setting picks for guys to, like, cut to the corner and then bleeding it out on the break on defense. Or I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. It's hard for me to see. I don't even know who I would close games out with this roster other than LeBron and AD. I really don't. I don't have – I mean, Reeves, I would hope, I guess. None, I would hope, I guess. There's not a lot to work with on paper. So that's, I think, what's frustrating and maybe even a little scary to Laker fans right now. And I understand that. That's basically the point of my five things that I just wrote, which is if cheapness and bad choices are going to define this modern Laker era, what is the impetus for the everyday man to shell out $100 a month for his cable package to watch the team junk it up or certainly go and see them play in person? None. There's no impetus for that right now with this team. There's no excitement around this team. There's only dread. There's only dread. And so I don't.
Not true. Not true.
Okay. Tom has a lot of hope for
trade
this
coming. Trade well, coming.
Guys, we're going to have to finish it up right here, real quick. But Joe, any last thoughts? Is this team better, what you see, than last year's team as far as filling the rest of the roster out?
This team is worse because they're a year. It's a year later for Westbrook, which means not good things. Schroeder is not better than he was a year ago or 2 years ago. You know, the wall in the NBA can be like this. It's that quick. And we're supposed to be winning championships. See, if you're sitting here telling me this is going to help, this is going to help, and we were going to make a playoff run, cool. I'm thinking about a title, guys. There's no shot right now. No. Zero. So what difference does it make what happens at this point? Why not just ride this disaster to the end? Don't give up anything and just, you know, LeBron is always all about LeBron. So he's going to have something. He's going to have his title by January when he breaks Kareem's record. So he's going to be happy. He'll, you know, do his interviews after that and say I's 100 times in his talks and then that's it. It'll be nice. And maybe if we're lucky, we can see AD play like we would hope AD would play. And maybe a couple of young guys like Reeves and your favorite guys, was it JTA? Maybe he flourishes here. I don't know. Title's not going to happen. And at that point, if that's the situation and there's no one trade that's going to create at least a chance at that, then at this point, you guys, we got to just accept that this is not going to happen this year.
I am in agreement with you guys that for the most part, I think this team is lacking a lot of talent.
No. Tom does not agree with Tom. You're not agree with Tom.
It's younger.
You can't judge this team until after the trade.
Tom,
you can't talk about what hasn't happened.
Well, we're trying to answer Blue Magic's question, so I'm sorry. All right. But I tell you what.
What if I had a grenade launcher? I mean, just think of all the things I could do with a grenade launcher.
But you don't.
That's right. I don't have a grenade launcher. This is my point.
Well, grenade launchers aside, it is a great question.
Unfortunately, we're online, and your grenade launcher is not going to go anywhere except your own garage.
But if I had a jetpack, if I had a jetpack and a grenade launcher, then I'd be like in Contra, old school, 80s Contra.
All right, but it is the Lakers fast break.
Up, down, left, right, there you left, go. Right, A, B, start.
Absolute video games, gamer, being a gamer. Come on, Joe, be a gamer. You know, just gaming, man. You know, Contra, NBA 2K.
I can talk video games, sort of.
Sort of. There you go. But it is the Lakers fast break. We truly appreciate you being part of today's show. If you have any questions for us, always at Lakers Fast Break on Twitter, where I actually popped up, like you saw earlier, if you didn't catch it, my 1988 World Championship back-to-back shirt. I popped it up on at Lakers Fast Break and also as well Lakers Fast Break at Facebook. Big shout out to everyone on Facebook. If you can please go ahead and catch us on YouTube, you'll get all the shows there that we do right there at YouTube or also as well on audio, wherever you get your podcast. And also, if you have any questions, LakersFastBreak@yahoo.com. If you want to check out more of the discussion between Jamie and Laker Tom, it's just always fascinating. And they're great articles at Five Things. And, of course, the number one Lakers blogger and Laker Tom. Go ahead and check it out today at LakerHolics.com. And, of course, Ox1947. He's always roaming around the groups today at LakersBall.com. John McCalion says, left two, triangle, R3. Well, I will say that the chat has been, you've been tremendous. I gave you a big special shout out. Truly appreciate everyone being a part of it, from Umar, John, Blue Magic, Jeff. You guys have been tremendous. Petting my cat, Bubba, Nick Wong. You guys have been all great, a part of the chat. Had a nice crowd tonight. Again, if you have any questions for us, please hit us up. But on Thursday, we'll be back. Looking forward to, I think, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Going to try to get it on that.
That'll be the trade session.
That'll be the trade session. Okay, okay. But I also want to talk Legacy Episode 7.
Make sure you don't miss it.
Joe and I have seen it. Yes, don't miss it. That'll be the trade session. So we'll go from there. But once again, we'll see you on Thursday. Jeez. He's getting his jetpack. My gosh. Okay. We'll go indeed. But we will be back on Thursday. We truly appreciate
I'm researching jetpack defenses already.
Watch out. Watch out. Listen, all right.
The Lakers are going to need jetpacks if they're going to win.
That's something like that. Something like that indeed. But again, we truly appreciate you being part of the show, part of the program, and hopefully you will have your jetpack ready and going ahead to join us on Thursday for the supposed trade show right here at the Lakers Fast Break Podcast.